This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I wish I had a dollar for every time I've seen or heard the phrase, "Now we have a series," over the last several hours. It's right up there with "Now we have a game." Can I just amend that, please? We've always had a game, and we've always had a series. What did Trevor Ariza say to us after game three? It was, in my opinion, the most important post-game reaction to come out of the Houston locker room after the Rockets got obliterated. They were embarrassed by 41 points, their worst playoff loss in their franchise history. 41 points. But Trevor Ariza's perspective was perfect. A loss is a loss, whether we win by two or whether we, whether we lose by two or whether we lose by 200. A loss is a loss. We're still only trailing in the series 2-1. The answer from the Houston Rockets on Tuesday night was awesome. So yes, we have a series because we've always had a series. It takes four wins to end a series. Neither team has that yet. And
oh
now...
Oh my God, what just happened?
Thank you, Steph. And now, just like in the East, it's best of three. And now, the Rockets have their home court back. CP3 gets his groove back, and the Rockets get their home court advantage back. Let's do a little fill in the blank. I feel blank after the Rockets rallied twice from double figures down, including in the fourth quarter. I feel blank. Do you feel confident? Do you feel blah? Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel excited? Do you feel like the Rockets are going to win? Do you feel like this was a statement victory? Do you feel like the Warriors stink? Whatever it is that you feel, get in touch with your feelings, sports fans, because it's a hump show. We're not going to be touchy-feely on hump show. This is only hypothetical. However, I do want to know how you feel following game number four in the Western Conference Finals. But yeah, this is pretty cool. We now have the potential for a pair of Game 7s in the Conference Finals. Bring it on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know that's how you feel about Hump Show. Bring it on. It's also the return of Ask Amy Anything. Want the honest truth? I didn't even think about Hump Show or Ask Amy last week. I enjoyed sleeping on vacation, so I don't know that I thought about the show even a little bit. However, that brings me back with a renewed energy and enthusiasm for your questions. So you can find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's how you send your questions for Ask Amy on Twitter. Or you can find us on our Facebook page, our poor, sad, lonely Facebook page. When I was on vacation, our poor little Facebook page almost shriveled up and died. I think that we've been able to water it enough that it's perking up now. It needs your traffic, though. I put pictures, I put videos. We've talked about vacation destinations. In fact, as we wrap up a Tuesday, thank you so much for all of your tweets and Facebook posts with your favorite vacation destinations. That was our Twitter Tuesday question. And I now have, I don't know, a dozen new places to add, if not more, that are on my vacation bucket list. So that was fun. But we got to get serious here, right? Because Hump Show is nothing if not uber serious. This makes me want to go back on vacation. Thanks, Isaac. The band is back together, kind of. Producer Tom is still out in the newsroom. We've had all kinds of crazy technical difficulties. Don't ask. Don't ask, don't tell. That's the policy. Actually, don't ask, but I am telling you. So we're going to ride the wave here and see what happens. We're inside the Quicken Loans studio. I don't even know what that was. We're back to reality. Is that the deal?
Technical difficulty.
We certainly have had plenty of those over the last week and a half or so. I thought I'd missed them all, but alas, they are still with us. So, yes, we're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I was tweeting about Rockets and Warriors, and we had an ongoing conversation there for a little bit. A couple of the things that jump out at me. This game had enough momentum swings that they made me seasick a little bit. I do love it. Sports are not so great for your digestive system or for your heart. Sometimes they create heart palpitations, and then you can feel it in your gut, especially when you have a game that features a 12-0 run by the Warriors, a 15-2 run by the Rockets, then an 11-0 run by the Warriors, and then a 9-0 run by the Rockets. Oh my gosh, make up your mind. Which is it? This was the first game of the conference finals in which the two teams were separated by one possession in the fourth quarter. First time in the conference finals that you had the two teams go down to the wire, and we potentially had a buzzer beater. Now, it was a little bit of delayed gratification, right? Because you thought the game was over. I thought the game was over. And then the game wasn't over. And then somehow Steph Curry squirts free for a turnaround three that would have tied the game at the buzzer. It didn't. But still, it was kind of crazy that after all the, and I'll just admit it, I was grousing about blowouts in the conference finals, that we end up with a game that goes down to the wire. Can a girl get a buzzer beater, for God's sakes? So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You feel what after seeing the Rockets scratch, claw, rebound, and shoot their way to a tie series? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I think this was a fantastic response from the Rockets, not only because they got embarrassed in game number three, but also because they twice had to rally from slaps in the face. If you remember, way, 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 way back to the beginning of this game, feels like a lifetime ago because of everything that happened. But if you remember, the Rockets were down 12-0. Literally watched the Warriors score the first 12 points of this game. They missed their first 8 shots while the Warriors started out like a house on fire. And then the Rockets right the ship, and they pull their way back into it. They shoot their way back into it. So in the second quarter, you start to see the threes drop and the momentum shifts. So this kind of underscores what I'm talking about. Golden State limits Houston to 19 points in the first quarter, but then the Warriors only manage 18 points in the second quarter. And then they flip. And Golden State gets this Steph Curry spark in the third quarter. And he hits a bunch of threes. In fact, he scored 11 straight points. And the Warriors build a double-digit lead again. And it's the Rockets who can't get out of the teens in points in the third quarter. And then lo and behold, the pendulum swings back the other direction. And it's the Golden State Warriors who absolutely cannot score in the fourth quarter, and they see their double-figure lead shrink and shrivel and disappear.
Paul trying to get it in, loops it in the corner right side to Ariza, back of the corner to Paul. Curry has him sealed in that corner. Paul whips it across on the skip to Ariza, fakes it three steps right, shoots for the lead, got it! Trevor Ariza gives the Rockets the lead again with a corner three, 85-84 Houston. Back the Rockets come, 2.5 to go in game four. They're up by 2. Paul comes left, bounce pass up top. Eric Gordon for 3. And he knocks it down. Splash Gordon with a big time shot. nails the three, his first of the game, and the Rockets go up five.
So, so critical what some of the other guys did in the fourth quarter. And by other guys, I mean the guys not named CP3 and James Harden. Why? Because those two combined for nearly 60 points. Eric Gordon, who's essentially the only guy who played, well, I mean, Gerald Green played 12 minutes off the bench, but Eric Gordon was essentially the sixth man, like he has been for the Rockets, but he played starter minutes. So Clint Capella was ineffective for a good portion of this game in terms of the offense, and then he struggles at the free throw line, though he actually made 4 of 5, but Steve Kerr was going after him at the trying to put him on the free throw line. So Eric Gordon provides that pop off the bench. Now, Gordon didn't shoot particularly well in this game, but that three that he hit in the fourth quarter was massive. So you've got those two threes from Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon among the dozen triples that the Rockets hit. And it was the three-point shooting that dug them out of their holes on one end of the court. But on the other end, it was the defense. And it was some ugly Warriors offense in the fourth quarter. Everything that we love and appreciate about the Warriors offense, and I'll speak for those of us who do enjoy watching it. They move the ball. They move without the ball. It's fluid. It's quick. It keeps the defense off balance. And yes, very often it results in an open three. We got to see that in the third quarter. And you got this display, this fun, uber exciting display of basketball in the third. And in the fourth, it was the complete opposite. Standing around, flat-footed, taking these god-awful shots that mostly were contested. And I know Kevin Durant and Steph Curry didn't shoot well in the fourth quarter. So let's say they hit a few shots. Yeah, things look different. But what really bothered me was how the ball movement stopped. There was so much ISO. ISO is what Houston does. There was so much ISO taking place in the fourth quarter. The Warriors got complacent and, of course, got tired because there was no Andre Iguodala. And because they also had a shorter bench. A lot of their big men not playing in this series, not even David West playing in this series, because of the backcourt dominant play, because of the superstars in the backcourt for both teams, the benches have gotten shorter and shorter. And without Iguodala, you could tell the Warriors were missing not only the defense and that extra option on defense, but the energy that he brings. And so a major piece, a guy that's been starting for them, and when they go small, not available because of a sprained knee. Now, he was upgraded to questionable before this game, but did not make an appearance. The Warriors lose by 3 on their home court. First time in 17 playoff games at home that they've lost. You know, the last time the Warriors lost at home in the postseason? Game 7, 2016 NBA Finals.
Nerd alert.
Kyrie Irving, anyone? Uh-huh. That's the last time they lost in the playoffs at Oracle. And so, how are you feeling after the Rockets even up the series? And I think do it with some amazing character. What have we said about the Rockets in the past? What have I said about the Rockets in the past? They don't know how to beat back from adversity. They don't know how to beat back the challenges. They don't respond with heart and desire and leadership. Sometimes they fold in big minutes, except Chris Paul makes a big difference when it comes to that leadership. And the Rockets not only didn't fold after losing by 41 in game 3, they came back and they delivered a gut punch of their own. Love it. So, yes, fine. If you want to say it, now we have a series. I say we've always had a series. But it seems to be the popular rhetoric. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I feel what after seeing the Rockets trip up the Warriors to even the West Finals? Blake says, I feel hopeful for CP3 and the Rockets. Yeah, will it be Chris Paul making his first ever NBA Finals? He certainly had a performance worthy of that on Tuesday night. So we're just getting started. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. We'll get some post-game reaction from the two locker rooms. And then 20 minutes from now, we'll head to the Bay Area, where Craig Ackerman still has a voice. He's got great pipes anyway. But he will join us to talk about what changed from Game 3 to Game 4 as the Rockets come back with a statement victory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Ball working on Thompson. That's a tough three. He hit it. Just as the shot clock goes off, back-to-back tough jimmies. One for Durant and that one for Chris Paul. Livingston will inbound it, 95-92 Houston. Livingston looking to get it in, looking to get it in. Finds Curry in the corner, got it off in time. He missed it! And now game four is finally officially over as the Rockets come into Oracle Arena here in Oakland and win it 95-92. Tying this series at two games apiece and ending Golden State's NBA playoff record home court winning streak at 16.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a huge game for Chris Paul. The effort is always there from Chris. He works hard at it, but he'd struggled. His shots weren't dropping. And so Chris comes up with the game that's kind of worthy of the closeout game for the Rockets in the West semifinals that helped to put him into his first ever conference finals. And now, thanks to an even series, CP3, as well as the rest of the Rockets, but Chris specifically, just two games away from his first ever NBA finals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That voice you heard, Craig Ackerman, will join us in 15 minutes now from the Bay Area, where the Rockets are not taking off and flying back to Houston until first thing on Wednesday morning. So they spend the night in the Bay Area, and he will join us following this game four. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I feel what? After seeing the way the Rockets rallied from double figures down twice, including the fourth quarter, to even the series at two games apiece. So it was big for Chris Paul because he was 10 of 20 from the floor. He had 27 points. He had four assists. James Harden had 30 points. And not only did the Rockets regain the home court advantage, which I think is big, but if you consider how things could have gone and what the popular narrative was after game three. And yeah, they failed miserably. They got kicked hard and they dropped to the mat and then boom, get kicked again. 41 point game. I still can't get over that. And yet none of that hangover, none of that is emotionally or psychologically affecting their performance in this game. Now, certainly, maybe they were tight when we started game number four. They missed their first eight shots. But, you know, sometimes shots drop, sometimes they don't. I said the same thing about Steph Curry when he finally found his rhythm in game three. And so you can't always measure a team by whether or not the shots are dropping. But sure, there may have been some tightness there, a little bit of nerves, understanding what's at stake here in this game number four. But for them to find a groove, to continue to work, I mean, the moment that I feel like was the turning point, and maybe this is overstating it a bit, but I still can't believe it happened. Do you guys remember in the first half, so it would have been second quarter, there was a turnover after the Warriors, I think they grabbed a rebound, and somehow they lost possession of the ball, and James Harden ends up with the basketball, and he's on the perimeter. He's standing on the three-point line. He's got nobody within 10 feet of him, and he's got 10 seconds of dead air, and he doesn't shoot. He doesn't shoot. I mean, I couldn't get over it in the second quarter that here's James Harden, likely MVP, who ends up with the ball, nobody within 10 feet or 10 seconds of him, and he doesn't take the shot. And it felt like from that point on, after that hesitation, that second guessing, whatever that was, passing up a shot for the guy who led the NBA in scoring this year, passing up a shot, and yet he doesn't do it from that point on. He didn't. After that, his aggressiveness kicked in. After that, he became more like the guy who scored 30 points per game this season. And so what happened? What happened after the Rockets dropped into a 12-0 hole?
You don't have to say anything to these guys. And that's, you know, it's so much fun coaching them just because you don't have to say a lot. They found a way. And again, it's just they've done it all year and they'll keep doing it. And, you know, all we did, too, is just get back to even. It's not like, you know, we're all excited. So we're even with them, but at least we're even with them.
The third game was just one loss. You know, we all know what that is. And we had the mentality that we were going to win game four. You know, we talked about it. We preached it. And, you know, we came out there and didn't stop.
So first you hear Mike D'Antoni. He's like, we're not all excited or anything. The series is just even. Oh, no. There is no way to overstate how big this win is for the Houston Rockets, especially considering what happened in game three and then how they started this game four. And then James Harden. We can't lose. We're going to have to come back and win, and that takes away. Here's the deal. If the Rockets win this series, nobody remembers game number three. Nobody's going to talk about game number three if the Rockets get to the NBA Finals. But most impressively is that they failed miserably. They got knocked down. They got kicked while they were down, but they got back up and they figured it out. And that is fantastic. That's where character is forged. That's where the experience comes from. Now, there are still some major issues, of course. They use six guys, essentially. Gerald Green logged a few minutes, but six guys. That can wear you out. And speaking of being worn out, Steve Kerr's bench has been shorter. Because of the way these two teams have gone through the chess match and the strategies with the smaller lineups, and having no Andre Iguodala on Tuesday night meant that they had an even shorter bench.
I felt like in the fourth quarter, you know, we just ran out of gas. We scored 12 points. Tried to buy a little bit of rest for our guys, but they just outplayed us in the fourth and they earned it.
We can regain control of the series if we go down there and play a complete game. And we've shown we can do it before, and I think the vibe in the locker room is really positive right now when it comes to what we need to correct when it comes to, you know, winning game five.
There were a lot of missed opportunities for the Warriors at the end of game number four. Steph missed a layup. I mean, it wasn't wide open, but still, he missed a layup. It was just short. It didn't get high enough above the rim. Draymond Green missed a dunk in the fourth quarter. There was also a Klay Thompson shot that was missed. And KD and Steph together were a combined 2 of 13 in the fourth. You know what stands out to me about the fourth quarter? After the way that Steph shot in the third and they built that double-figure lead, he's on the court to begin the fourth quarter, but then he gets pulled out. I think about the 10-minute mark, KD subbed in for him. And at that point, the Rockets just regained the momentum. Without him on the court, the offense lost its spark, and it got really stagnant. And when he came back, the spark wasn't there. When he came back, the shots weren't falling. So I get it. You want these guys to get rest, but I kind of feel like you got to leave it all out there. And Steph sitting for those 3 or 4 minutes in the fourth quarter, to me, interrupted that flow that they'd built up. And obviously, the Rockets were able to rally back. So congratulations to Houston. This was huge, in my opinion. I don't think you could overstate how big this was. But we'll ask Craig Ackerman, who's the play-by-play voice of the Houston Rockets, still in the Bay Area with the team. We'll fly back to Houston with them on Wednesday morning. He will join us next. How do you feel about this game? Steve says on Twitter, I feel the Rockets have regained the momentum to win the series. Coming back to Houston, Joshua said it was good to see a game that close. And I mean, there's so many ways that you can look at it. As Steph talks about, there were missed opportunities. They could have won this game despite only 12 points in the fourth quarter, but they didn't.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rockets come, 2.5 to go in game four. They're up by 2. Paul comes left, bounce pass up top. Eric Gordon for 3. And he knocks it down. Splash Gordon with a big time shot. Nails the 3, his first of the game, and the Rockets go up 5.
The third game was just one loss. You know, we all know what that is. And we had the mentality that we were going to win game four. You know, we talked about it, we preached it. And, you know, we came out there and didn't stop.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So true. Although hindsight gives you all kinds of wisdom and perspective, but he's right. After the Rockets won game four, you can put that game three behind you and say, hey, a loss is a loss. And now we're even. We just needed to keep coming back. And that's what they did. After falling behind 12-0, after falling behind by double figures in the fourth quarter, again, the Rockets scratch and claw. They play tough defense. They challenge everything in the fourth quarter, and they hold the Warriors to 12 points on their own court. Do you know it's the worst shooting percentage of any quarter this season for the Warriors? 17%. They shot 17% at home in the fourth quarter of a game in which they had the chance to go up 3-1. So credit the Rockets for fighting back hard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I like your responses to what we've seen so far in the conference finals. Both series now tied 2-2. Bring it on. Let's spend some time now with Craig Ackerman, who's the Houston Rockets TV and radio play-by-play voice. Still in the Bay Area, the team won't fly home until Wednesday morning. So, Craig, it's great to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much. We see the Rockets go down double digits early in that fourth quarter, but they come back, they win this game. What happened in the fourth, Craig?
They defended, I think, first and foremost. I mean, you know, they locked down Golden State, held them to 12 fourth quarter points, just 10 after they were up by 12 early in the period. They knocked down some timely shots, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, but they defended. They defended as if their season was on the line, and got to give credit to P.J. Tucker, who was terrific rebounding the ball in the fourth quarter, had 7 of his 16 rebounds in the fourth, and they did, you know, all the little things that it takes to win, and here they are, 2-2 with a chance with home court back on their side, and two of the final three games of this series back at Toyota Center.
What looked different about Chris Paul tonight, Craig?
He had shots. He was a little more active.
Yes.
I guess that he mentioned that he felt a little bit better after sort of, you know, hurting himself a little bit at the end of game two. But, you know, he knocked down some big shots. I don't want to go too far down the well with this, but because the Rockets haven't won anything yet, they just evened up the series at 2-2. And obviously Golden State is fully capable of coming into Houston and winning game five and ending this thing on their home floor over the weekend in game six. But this in part was a legacy defining win for a lot of the players and coaches with this organization, especially after the embarrassment of game three. And obviously the start here in game four, they were down 12-0 to come back and win this game and end the Warriors, you know, lengthy record playoff home court winning streak, and to do it in the manner that they did, I think changes a little bit, maybe not all of it, but a little bit of the conversation surrounding Chris Paul and James Harden and Mike D'Antoni and some others. And so, like I said, they haven't won this series and they may not win this series, but I think this game went a long way towards perhaps maybe changing some of the thoughts of people that they have, incorrectly so in my opinion, on the players, some of the players and coaches that are on this roster.
Well, why do you think there is an incorrect or inaccurate idea and narrative around this team?
Well, you know, obviously this is the first time Chris Paul in his career has been at the conference finals. The closest he's been recently was when they were up 3-1 against the Rockets, and obviously they lost that lead and lost the series. That was the last time the Rockets played the Warriors in the conference finals as they went on to win their first championship. But, you know, Chris's playoff numbers and success with the Clippers, he's been very good. And it wasn't necessarily on him why they ultimately never got to the conference finals with the Clippers. He was individually terrific in that game six that the Rockets rallied back to beat the Clippers. He was the only guy on LA who was even willing to shoot the ball down the stretch when the Rockets had them on their heels. Now, I know obviously James Harden's season a year ago in the fourth quarter in overtime of game five in San Antonio where the Rockets let it slip. Mm-hmm. And then whatever that was in game six, you know, had some people talking about James and whether or not he's a guy who brings it, but he's already played in the finals. He led the Rockets that one year, again, as I mentioned, to the conference finals against Golden State. He typically has been very good in the postseason as well. He's been terrific so far in the postseason, especially in the first two rounds. And, you know, the Rockets are taking on an historically great team. And even though the Rockets won 65 games in the regular season and have home court advantage and they earned all of that, the Warriors are another level and they should be the favorites, and they should be the favorites to come out of this series regardless of what happened here tonight. But I think what James did, you know, the dunk on Green, the big first half, the 30 points, and Chris Paul's obviously his best game of this series, I think should hopefully change some of the talk about these guys, you know, quote unquote, not having ultimate success. And the same thing for Mike D'Antoni. You know, he was one, you know, shove and suspension away, you know, from ultimately getting over the hump when he was with Phoenix, and some weird circumstances certainly didn't allow that. He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. And hopefully people will start looking at all these guys a little bit differently.
Craig Ackerman is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Rockets radio network with the team still in the Bay Area after they evened up the series 2-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, Craig, you see this team game in, game out. How often has Mike D'Antoni had such a short bench? Other than Eric Gordon, only Gerald Green got in the game, and he only logged 12 minutes. So you're essentially talking about six guys doing the bulk of the work.
He's got no choice, unfortunately. He's playing six and a half guys. He's done that, in essence, for most of this series. It's unfortunate. I assure you, as much as Mike is known for a short rotation, I assure you it's not something that he wants to do but is forced to do. Look, Ryan Anderson, for one reason or the other, has lost his confidence. He won't even shoot the ball. So at this juncture, you know, a guy who's making $20 million a season is unplayable. Luke Bamute, who I know they desperately want to play, just isn't right, both physically and perhaps maybe on some level psychologically, after dislocating his shoulder for a second time. He's been a non-factor in this series. He was the Rockets' best perimeter defender the entire season, and Ryan Anderson was a guy who's hit some big shots. He's hit some big shots against this Warriors team, and those two guys have been so ineffective they can't play them. Nene, you can't play him in this series because it's just the matchup for him defending in space on the Warriors small ball lineup. He wasn't going to play in this series anyway. He's hardly played against Golden State in his Rockets career anyway. So that was kind of that's the reason why he really hasn't played. And so and Gerald Green was terrific tonight defensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, he took some rushed shots in the game, but that's who he is, and the Rockets certainly don't want to take that away from him. And so you have to, you know, you have to live with some of those limitations. And so he really has no choice. The Rockets went from having one of the deeper, more productive benches in the league, and now they're basically down to six and a half guys. And frankly, at this juncture of the season, playing this particular Warriors team, you know, you got to throw those guys out there that you know you can rely on and either sink or swim.
Certainly has been cool, by the way, to see Gerald Green embrace his role. And so far in this postseason, he's been tenacious on defense, but he's also hit some really big shots, too.
Yeah,
so
yes.
He brings that edge. Speaking of an edge, the Warriors were without Andre Iguodala. How much do you think that affected game number four? How did you see it affect game four?
Well, you know, a couple of things. One, the Rockets have beaten the Warriors three times this year, and all three wins have come when Iguodala has been hurt. So we have to start there. So obviously it's a factor. Number two, obviously, without Iguodala, it takes away another really good player for them, somebody who gives them the defensive identity and versatility that makes them so tough to beat. In addition to all those, you know, Durant, Thompson, and Curry being able to knock down, you know, all kinds of shots. We're talking about three of the greatest shooters ever, but he gives them, along with Draymond Green and Durant and Thompson, the lockdown defensive versatility that's so hard to sort of solve their defensive puzzle. So him not having there gives them one less really effective player, and then forces them to sort of play some other guys maybe some more minutes than Steve Kerr wants to, and makes them go a little bit deeper into his bench than perhaps maybe he's comfortable in doing at this stage. But the irony is that the death lineup, and I just don't like the Hamptons Five, but whatever people are calling it. When I think of Hamptons Five, I think of people sitting out by a pool with their collars popped, you know,
in pink,
drinking champagne coolies, right? There's zero menace in that. Come on now, I that's very elitist.
Yes,
and I'm just not.
I just call it the small lineup,
right? But anyhow, so you know, they take him away from that, and you take all that away. The irony is that the death lineup has destroyed teams. For years. I mean, even before Durant came, I mean, that was the death lineup.
Right.
Now it's obviously it's on steroids with Durant. And the irony is that in this series, the Rockets have had the better of that group. And it's been when Kevon Looney's been on the floor that the Rockets have had all kinds of problems. So for all the reasons that I mentioned, they're missing him. But technically, so far in this series, when he's been on the floor, the Rockets have taken advantage of him. And then I'll say one other thing. He's their best wing defender on James Harden, so you know that that certainly helps the Rockets and hurts them too.
Craig Ackerman from the Bay Area after Game 4 with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, Chris Paul on TNT following the broadcast issued a challenge to Houston, and he brought up what happened with Santa Fe and how he hoped that this basketball game would provide a brief break and maybe a distraction and something that the city could rally around. And certainly Houston sports fans know exactly what he's talking about with Harvey last year and then with the Astros. How do you believe the fans will respond in Game 5?
I think they're going to respond well. I mean, Houston is an extremely resilient city, whether it be, you know, man-made disaster or, you know, natural disaster. It's a pretty resilient group of people that typically responds and bounces back. And I certainly think the Astros run of the World Series help alleviate some of that, and hopefully the game tonight and whatever remains of this season from the Rockets can, you know, provide some comfort to those who've experienced this tragedy personally. And I think the fans will be ready. They were terrific in Game 2. I expect them to be terrific in Game 5 and give this team a lift. You know, again, I think people are very, very excited about what this team did here tonight, the way that they won this game. And I think people are really very much looking forward to the Rockets and an opportunity to find themselves one game away from getting to the NBA Finals for the first time since the mid-1990s.
Oh, it is the always critical, pivotal, crucial, so important Game number 5 when we have a tie series. And aren't we lucky as basketball fans that we get a pair of these Game 5s in which – two series hang in the balance. Craig Ackerman, play-by-play voice of the Rockets on both TV and radio. Awesome to talk to you. You can find Craig on Twitter at @CA_Rockets, and the voice is unmistakable. It's awesome at this point to have two conference finals that could potentially go to a Game 7. So I can get excited just thinking about the potential for that. And now that we don't have to wait 3 days in between games like we did from games 2 to 3 in both the East and the West, now we get the bang bang action every night. Plus, we have a Game 7 in hockey coming up on Wednesday night, so that's awesome. Straight ahead, the NFL makes some major decisions that will affect the 2018 season, so we'll get into that, plus a couple of injuries that just make you cringe already, and it's May. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. It's our hump show. Thanks so much for joining us after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.